Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the 415. I'm Raina Starr. With me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Star Bustamante. Say hello, Star.
Hello, Star.
The 415 represents our opinions and not those of the Wild Hunt or Dorothy Morrison or House of Black Cat Magic or anybody else that we associate with. There will be cursing and swearing. And things of a serious nature, because that is how we roll on this show. We've missed you. I had a death in the family, so I apologize for missing out last month. But we are back. We are back. And the news is getting more interesting every friggin' day. So let's start off with the primary. What a shock. What a shock. I mean, really? Trump and Biden. We kind of knew this was going to happen. And I just want to say on a personal note, now that we have established who our candidates are, can we stop talking about age? Because at this point, it doesn't matter. We've got a choice of two old fuckers, and one old fucker is a much better fucker than the other fucker. It's just true. So, you know, I'm just tired of hearing about Biden being old. Listen, Biden always had a stammer. People may not have realized that. So, yeah, it gets worse with age. Brain is working, obviously. We have a smoking economy. I really don't care what people say. I'm just over it. It's like 3.7 unemployment rate. Yeah, you know, I'll take it. It's all right. It works for me because we're all working. It's really much better than people are making. I think we're so used to complaining about how shit everything is that we don't even realize when things are going better. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, well, I think that's definitely true. But it's really interesting. I mean, okay, so let me just say that I think part of the problem is how the media, again, is reporting on all of this. They're not doing a good job. Now, that's not to say that all journalists are not doing a good job, but much of the mainstream media, you know, and I mean, if you've been paying attention to what the garbage the New York Times has been publishing, like, I don't even know what's wrong with them. Like, have they been taken over by aliens, or maybe the GOP owns them now, or something, but I mean, it's just been one really poorly written article after another. But also, even the Washington Post is like, it's like, what are you guys doing? So I really, I don't know what they're doing. But they're not doing their jobs, in my opinion, because they're, you know, they're not even focusing on the issues, like the real issues. One thing to... They're not doing their jobs, in my opinion. They could be doing so much better and really be digging into the things that people are genuinely concerned of. Like, I don't give a fuck what some Yahoo who lives in, you know, rural nowhere thinks about this or that, because the impact that those folks are going to have is, you know, is – I mean, that's a small percentage of people. Even what people, you know, like, if I hear urban elites one more time, I may stab someone with a pencil, okay? I mean, I'm like, you know, not all people that live in urban areas are elite, nor are they liberals, you know? I mean, but there's like this... that is constantly pushed. And wokeism, okay? Like, also the next person that says wokeism to me in my presence, I will also stab them in the neck with a pencil. Because, I would like you to know that, and I think you probably already know this, but for our listeners, it is possible to stab someone in the neck with a pencil and not kill them. Just don't pull the pencil out until you get them, like, to the emergency room. But, I mean, yeah, this is where we are. I am just so over some of this, like, I mean, just the reporting and this focusing on shit that isn't even, like, 90% of what the GOP is, like, screaming about, it's, like, made-up shit,
yeah.
You know? The election was rigged.
Very much so.
You know, the January 6th hostages. Okay, they were not fucking hostages. They are fucking traitors, and they were part of an insurrection. No, they're not hostages. I don't want to hear any more about that. And then, you know, all the DEI stuff and, critical race theory. I'm telling you, I'm just, some days I'm like, I'm just going to go burn everything down. I'm just so, like, I'm so fucking over it, because it's like, these are not real things. They're not real things.
I know.
Like, nobody's teaching the shit that they're, I mean, yeah, it makes me crazy. So that's where I am. I was so fried by the time we got to primary night that I couldn't even watch. You know, normally I watch all the coverage. I couldn't do it. I'm like, I cannot listen to Trump blather on. I couldn't do it. You know, I just couldn't do it.
Me neither. It's way painful. And I think what's bothering me the most about what's happening is the mainstream media, because instead of doing actual reporting, which used to be a noble profession and something people aspired to uncover the truth, it is now devolved into something that is purely for money, for most of the larger outlets like the New York Times and the Washington Post and even MSNBC to a certain extent. It's clickbait. It's not about hard-hitting reporting anymore. Now it's about how do we keep the watcher watching longer? We have to do something sensational, and we have to give this we have to keep everyone on the constant edge of their seat. And it's much easier to do that when you have negative things to say than positive things to say. When things are happy, everybody's like doing their shit. But if you can keep people unsettled and off kilter, you're going to have their attention longer. It's just a known fact. And I'm really disheartened by that. But as long as I'm saying that, I also want to mention that the Wild Hunt does not do that. The Wild Hunt is a pagan paper of record. You can trust it. There's real journalism happening. And we are running out of sources for real journalism. And it's getting fucking scary out there. So I would advise folks who are listening to read The Wild Hunt, subscribe to it, give it all your support, because we are running low. We're running low on reliable reporting. Thank you.
Well, I will say that there are, you know, there are some exceptional outlets out there now. And granted, The Wild Hunt does a very good job on reporting on pagan news and news that impacts pagans. But overall, for all general news, I mean, The Wild Hunt really doesn't cover politics. That's just not, unless it's something that's majorly going to impact the pagan community. However,
right.
ProPublica has been, like, just kicking some ass this year. They've reported on, you know, on Clarence Thomas. You can go onto ProPublica's website, and it's free. They're a nonprofit, and they do a shit ton of fundraising in order to do some of the best investigative reporting that I've seen in some time. And they really get into it. I mean, they are doing fantastic work, and there are outlets, but the stuff that you're seeing on, if you're watching cable TV, if you're surfing the net, a lot of those, it's about money. I mean, it used to be that newspapers in particular were, and even TV stations, news was not expected to make money. You know, it was considered a public service, and there wasn't a focus on it making money, and that has all changed. But also, when you lose newspapers the way we have lost newspapers in the last decade or two or so, that really impacts on a local level, because mortgage prices are higher, corruption is more prevalent, because there's nobody there. You know, I mean, the fourth, it's called the fourth estate for a reason, because it keeps good reporting and good journalism keeps government in check. And so without those local papers and local reporters, you know, staying on top of things, then there's nobody keeping things in check at all. And it has widespread impacts. So I just wanted to interject that. So the Wild Hunt is absolutely is a great source of news for pagans, but it's not full spectrum, because covering politics and to cover all of the news is really, really expensive. Really expensive.
Oh, yeah. Everything. It's all gone up. All right. So let's dig into this. The primary results. Ooh, buddy. Nikki Haley. Oh, girl. I know you were trying. You were trying. She was hanging. Let me tell you what. She was trying to hang in there. What, she win her Vermont by surprise? We were all kind of like, oh, go on, girl, get you something. But, I mean, it was kind of obvious, was it not, that she wasn't going to pull out a victory over Trump? I mean, yeah, it's, you got to have multiple voices out there, but we kind of saw the writing on the wall. You've got, you know, there's like two camps of people, people who are Trumpers and people who are not. Really that kind of simple, you know? I mean, I know there's a large swath of independents who are like, well, we haven't made up our minds. How could you not at this point? You know exactly who's on which side. You know exactly what you're dealing with. You know, we have no chance of recapturing Roe v. Wade if Trump gets back into office. We probably won't ever have another election if Trump gets into office. I mean, that's just my opinion, but it's possible. It is possible. What are your thoughts on all this?
Well, on one hand, you know, I hate that Trump is the GOP nominee.
Of course.
I hate it. I hate it. Even the remote chance that he might win, I hate it. By the same token, I don't think, you know, I didn't think Nikki Haley really had a chance. I mean, you know, she made a point of saying that she was the first Republican, you know, the first female Republican candidate to win any electoral votes.
Yep.
That's, you know, that's, okay, so here it is. You know, it's 2024. We still don't have, you know, we still have not had a woman win the presidency in the United States, which is pretty fucking
right.
Sad, in my opinion. But to think that I would have been shocked, even if Trump had not won, if Haley had managed to become the nominee, you know, I that would have been shocking. You know, the party of no, the party of old white men. Yeah, not a, she had like a snowball's chance in hell of that. However, that being said, she still managed to beat him in D.C. and in Vermont. So there's a certain hilarity there.
Yep.
But And now there's a, have you seen there's this huge thing, Nikki Haley's supporters for Biden. Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
So they're like, you they're all apparently never Trumpers. And they are just continually, at least what I saw the last couple of days, that they are continually pushing out, you know, the message that, you know, that Trump is awful. He's awful for America.
Yeah.
He's awful,
yep.
You know, for the GOP. And so they're all, like, kind of amassing to, like, push for Biden, which is, you know, like, I look at the news and I think, well, you know, this can't get any weirder. And it just keeps getting weirder. So one of the other interesting things in exit polling on primary, on Super Tuesday, like 30-something percent of Republicans, like in North Carolina, said that they would not vote for Trump if he ends up being the nominee. And then, like, 35% said that that they would have issues, that they would not vote for him if he was convicted and remained the nominee, which I don't even know what that would look like, okay? So, like, I don't know that we've ever had a candidate that was convicted of crimes that continued to run for office. I mean, I don't even know. I don't know, which is, you know, I don't know what the legality of that is. Like, where, you know, like, surely somebody who's been convicted of a felony would not be allowed.
Shouldn't be running?
Well, they shouldn't be running,
that,
but even if they, you know, even if they do run, they shouldn't be allowed to take off. I mean, that would seem to disqualify them from office. I don't know.
Sounds like a question for the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is why I think that, you know, they're pushing this decision into April to decide whether or not Trump is, you know, if he has presidential immunity when he's committed crimes in office. How is that even a thing? You know, we've twisted this so hard and so far as a country that it doesn't even make sense anymore. It used to be someone who did questionable shit. I mean, people freaked out because Clinton got a blowjob. He didn't orchestrate an insurrection. So how are these two things even equivalent? They're not equal in any measure in the world.
I got nothing. I got nothing. I mean, like, you know, I mean, come on. Wasn't it John Edwards that got a $400 haircut? And, like, people were so angry about that. And, you know, that he shouldn't be – I mean, that was like a major scandal. A 400, you know, little did they know where that would all go with Edwards, you know. Because that got ugly quick. But, I mean, you know – normally, you know, cheating on your spouse, saying things like grab them by the pussy, those would just be automatically disqualifiers for you know, especially within the Republican Party. So, I mean, it's absolutely bizarre that Trump is, you know, like, continues to have, like, the amount of support that he does. So I got nothing. I got absolutely nothing. I don't know why. I mean, I think it's bizarre in a way that, you know, I can't explain. People are nuts. What
well,
can I say?
I mean,
they're crazy.
It astounds me that the Party of Jesus, allegedly, because that's how they tout themselves, are into pussy grabbing. I had no idea. I had no idea. I thought that was a problem for them. I thought cursing was a problem for them. I thought pussies were a problem for them. Certainly grabbing them, certainly cheating on your spouse was a problem for them. Apparently none of this matters. All you have to do, and I've said this for decades, all you have to do is proclaim that God is in your corner, and that's it. Everybody falls at your feet, drops their drawers. It's unbelievable. You know, the Democrats, and I'm one of them, we fucking need to co-opt God, whichever ones we want, because apparently it doesn't fucking matter. It's amazing.
Oh, but no.
We're the party that says, no, you should have freedom of religion. We're the party that says, no, nobody should judge you for believing something different from somebody else. Nobody judges you for, you know, loving who you love or being who you are. Apparently, that's a big problem. I don't know. I mean, I'm a Democrat because I believe in democratic values. And I cannot abide this Republican bullshit. I'm just so tired of people. I really am. I don't understand how you can claim that Jesus is on your side with this pig. That's it. The man is disgusting. He believes in nothing that you hold dear. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He can say the words, but saying the words is meaningless. He does not care. He would, again, very famous Game of Thrones reference. He would burn it all to the ground if he could be king of the ashes. That is who Trump is. And I am devastated that so much of this country is willing to say, sure, go ahead.
Like I said, I got nothing. I can't wrap my head around, first of all, the selfishness of all of that. But I do think that, you know, I mean, Trump is a showman, you know, and that, and I mean, like, but you listen to these stories that he tells, and first of all, it's the same fucking story, like, just with different players, like, every time. I don't care what it is, it's the same story over and over again. But that people are so, I mean, I hear people on the news, like, every, you know, like he's doing these rallies and they're like, well, you know, I just think we're better off. None of it is based in fact. None of it. People are like, oh, well, we were better off under Trump. And I think it was Stefanik, at least Stefanik, that said, you know, just like either this morning or yesterday morning, that, you know, look how much better off we were in 2020. Like they forgot? Did they forget? Like, you know, and then so Aaron Rupar was like, just in case you're wondering, and then he goes and he posts like a bunch of his own coverage from 2020, which is like some of the asinine shit that Trump said when he was doing, you know, like, remember when he was doing his daily press conferences during the pandemic? You know, they quit letting him do that because, like, you could watch, like, especially, like, if you watched it on CNN or one of the big networks that had the ticker for the stock market. Like, after about a week of that, like, every time he would step in front of the cameras and the stock market would begin to just take a dive. It was bizarre,
which
is why that didn't go on for very, very long, because the stock market, you know, Wall Street was probably like, fuck, get that guy off of there. We can't take much more of this. But, I mean, like, did they forget about that? Like, the whole, like, what is wrong with them? I was just like, are you kidding?
I don't know, because when I ask these people, you know, about tell me what Trump's great accomplishments were, why were we better off when he was president? They have no reason, literally no reason, unless they say something racist or homophobic or anti-women. They have nothing that benefits
society. It's better than
society.
That. It's better than that. They will cite things that friggin' either Obama did or that Biden has done since. Like, I have seen clips where they're, like, talking about, okay, like the veterans bill. That was Obama, okay? That Obama passed that, and Trump routinely tells people that he did that when he was in office. I mean, like, 90% of the things that he said he did when he was in office that are actual things that, you know, were signed into law or whatever, did not happen under his watch. I mean, so, like, it blows my mind. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Do you not remember that was, like, you know, two presidencies ago or whatever? But this is what I'm saying. There's this huge disconnect where they are believing things that are just, I mean, either they never happened or they didn't happen under his presidency. I mean, when Trump was in office, this is the administration that Kellyanne Conway, you know, coined the term alternative facts. Okay, there's no fucking thing as alternative facts. There are facts, and then there are things that are not facts. There are no alternative facts. That is not
correct.
A fucking thing. I remember watching that press conference with my jaw on the floor and going, what the fuck is she talking about? Because but again, the media treated it like it was like a normal, you know, both sides kind of comment, you know, and it's like the only person that I can think of that really just blasted her, well, like, were the late night talk show hosts, you know, like Colbert and I think John Oliver, like literally lost his mind the show that he talked about that. But other than that, I mean, like, mainstream media was pretty much, alternative facts. What's that? You know, it's like, really? Really? This is what we're doing? Okay.
Well, here's the thing. I think when the pussy thing happened and the alternative facts thing happened, I think we were still at a point where we were looking at each other in such disbelief that we didn't think anyone would buy it. Little did we realize, but Trump knows this, that the American public, at least his supporters, are not smart enough to care. It has no effect because they feel like they're on a winning team. And as a matter of fact, my mother, who just was one of these people who did not care about the facts and said so to my face, who, when I asked her what he had done, had nothing to say, nothing. I was just happier. Why were you happier? Because my team won. That is the mentality that we are now dealing with. My team won. And that's frightening because there is a lack of critical thinking of any kind when it's all about the cult of personality and what team you're on and did your team win. It's not based in policy. It's not based in fact. It's not based in anything that means anything except to those who think one day they might grow up to beat Trump and have all this money and power. By the way, he doesn't. Power, yeah, because he scares the shit out of people, and people don't want to be harassed by him, and I think that is part of the problem, that people who can do something about it are terrified of him, because he has proven what a monster he is, and people get tired of fighting monsters. So I weep for our fading republic, but it's fucking fading. That's just a fact. So we as Democrats... Well, I'm sorry, but it's true. When you have, I have never seen such a decline in critical thinking during an election season as I have during Trump's runs. And this whole Biden's too old shit, I'm over it. I'm over it because Trump isn't that much younger. And Trump, he sounds like he knows what he's saying, but if you listen to the actual words, there aren't actual words happening, and no one seems to care. Have you listened to his speech lately?
It's gotten much, much worse. But, see, okay, yes. So I disagree with you because the thing that I see is, first of all, with the rolling back of Dobbs, there are a number of women and men, but largely women, who they might not have been paying attention before, but they're fucking paying attention now. And, you know, I would like to just point out there are more women than there are men. And I think that as much as Republicans would like this to be about some crazy border nonsense or immigration stuff or, you know, or Hunter Biden's laptop, whatever, it's not going to be about that. And Democrats have done a pretty good job of, you know, of keeping the abortion issue front and center. So I'm more optimistic than you are.
Yeah, you are.
But I do think that
this race should be nowhere near as close as it is even now. It should not be anywhere near this close. So I'm disappointed in my fellow Americans by a lot. It terrifies me. It does.
Well,
I am concerned for the future. I'm concerned about, here's the thing. We already knew that Trump tried to steal an election once. If you don't think he's going to have more things in place this time, I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, well, and I'm not saying that at all. You know, I don't disagree with that. But I do think that we know what to expect going in. Excuse me. I'm coughing up a hairball there. We have a much better idea going into this than we did the last time. And although plenty of people warned against, you know, what, I don't think they had any inkling of how bad it would go or how, you know, the level of violence that would occur at the Capitol. But plenty of people warned that if he lost in 2020, that he would try to claim that the whole thing was rigged and, you know, and try to stay in power. I don't think they had anywhere near a clear picture of what that might look like. And plus, there were too many people that said, oh, no, he won't do that. Surprise. So I think we're better prepared in light of that. And, you know, never underestimate the American public, ever. They are.
I don't think I am. That's the problem. That is the problem.
Well,
here's the thing, and you just made my point for me, and I got to say this. The fact that we know now what this idiot is capable of and the fact that he is back in contention to be a president again, yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Don't underestimate the American public. Now, you're you're making it sound like I'm underestimating their wisdom. I'm telling you, I'm not underestimating their lack of wisdom, because their lack of wisdom has gotten us to where we are right now. That scares the shit out of me, literally.
Well, it should, but look, the people who are the loudest and the most obnoxious and are giving lip service to all of this crazy stuff, they make up a small percentage of the electorate, a small percentage. I do not think that, you know, that overall this is who, those people don't speak for me. They sure shit don't speak for you. Most of them
right.
do not speak for any people of color. Like, I don't care what color they are, you know. And granted, there are some, you know, there are some weird groups out there, like even like Pagans for Trump or whatever, Witches for Trump. But, you know, and there's black groups, you know, groups of black voters that are for Trump, whatever. They're not, it's not a large amount of people. There are more people. What will determine this election will be the thing that determines almost every election. And that is who fucking shows up to vote. If everybody
right.
shows that is eligible to vote and who thinks like we do actually votes, you know, granted, you know, I mean, Biden's old. He is some old white dude, but he's done pretty fucking good. I know a lot of people that are younger than me that could not keep up with they could not keep the schedule that he keeps. And yet, you know, and yet the media is reporting on, like, why is he eating ice cream and why is he so old? And, you know, and it's like, really? That's what you want to cover. You're worried about ice cream and his age? And, you know, and I mean, like, if you talk to somebody that is actually in the pool in D.C. that travels with, you know, when they travel with the friggin' president, I mean, that's a full-time job. Just keeping up with him
yeah.
is a full-time job. So there's some hilarity there. I don't know. But to answer you or to point out to you, you know, I mean, the American people are belligerent as shit, okay? We're a bunch of crazy people, and we have weird ideas about stuff, and we do some of the dumbest shit, and, like, why we're even a leader of the free world often is kind of like, I don't know what the fuck we're doing. But I don't think that you're going to – I think that this is going to be really similar to 2020, because I think turnout is going to be up again, and – you know, so I think it's going to be really, really similar. You know, the thing is like, I feel like our job is to remind people, you know, we do not want to see a repeat of 2016.
Absolutely.
That's what we don't want. We not want
Absolutely.
That. Because I don't know. I don't know if I yeah. can survive another 4 years of a Trump presidency. I don't know if any of us can,
nope.
You know, and granted, this election cycle is going to be a lot more complicated, just what's going on in the world, you know, what's going on in
yep.
Ukraine, what's going on in Israel, you know, all of that, which, you know, I don't really want to talk about the Israel situation today, but I do want to say that I think the majority of people who are weighing in on that
yeah.
have a very poor understanding of what the structure of the Middle East is and how all those parts work together. But it's very complicated, and that adds an extra level of both concern and issues to our election.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But
I want to talk about Kristen cinema. I need humor.
Oh.
I need humor.
Ah.
I need humor. Because the Middle East is a very touchy, difficult subject, and minds bigger than mine are having a hard time with it. So, I mean, I'm not even going to broach it.
I do want to point out that tonight during his State of the Union address, one of the things Biden is going to talk about is that he is ordering the U.S. military to establish a temporary port in Gaza in order to increase the humanitarian aid for the Palestinians. That's a very good thing, because what's going on is really bad. I don't really want to get into the whole Israel Gaza Hamas issue. All right, let's talk about cinema, because this is pretty.
Can we?
Yeah, go ahead. You start.
Good grief, bitch! Represent. She's bisexual. I'm bisexual. I expected more out of this bitch. But no, she turned into the female Joe Manchin. Seriously? Go. Just go. Go. Go now. Do you have to wait? Just go. She's not looking for re-election. That is probably a really good fucking thing, because she has done no favors for the Democratic Party. So what are the chances of getting a real Democrat back in that seat? What are your thoughts on that? Because, quite frankly, it's Arizona. I'm not even sure how she got in the first place. That kind of surprised me. But, you know, her lack of willingness to be an actual Democrat, I found somewhat shocking. Maybe it's just me.
So here's the thing. Like, her dropping out is like a friggin' gift, okay? Because remember, she changed her party. She left the, she changed her affiliation from Democrat to Independent, right, after the midterms, right?
Yeah.
Now, the good news is, here's some hilarity for you, and that is that Carrie Lake is running for her seat, right? Which means, like I can't wait to see what Carrie Lake's, like, campaign videos look like, because it'll just be blurry. Because, like, by the end of her last run, like, she had things – it'll just be a blurry spot where her face is. But so Ruben Gael, is that how you say his name?
Gael?
I think so.
I was going to be American pronunciation. My apologies.
Gallego? Gallego? Anyway, however you say his name.
We apologize.
If I was a thorough journalist, I would have looked that up. It's Thursday in America, which comes after Wednesday.
We're exhausted is what we're saying. Life is busy as shit. But before we go any further, I just want to give another shout out to my friends at the Wild Hunt. Everybody, check out wildhunt.org, the pagan paper of record. Please give it all your support. It needs our assistance to continue to be. Gotta pay actual reporters to do actual reporting. It is a pagan slanted paper. I'm fully in support of that as a pagan myself. So if you are also a pagan and interested in the news of the pagan world, please check in with Wild Hunt. Again, a subscription is less than a cup of coffee per day, and so totally worth it. Get your copy now. All right, back to the show. So Arizona is going to be interesting when that happens. Let's we're low on time, actually. We've only got 15 minutes left. Let's talk about
Sweden. Can we talk about Sweden?
Yes, I was just going to say, can we move on to NATO? Very good. Please, go ahead.
All right, so 2 years ago, a little less than 2 years actually, Sweden applied to join NATO, which is the North Atlantic Treaty.
Mm-hmm.
They have just been admitted. So for those of you playing along at home, his geography might be not so strong. Basically, Russia is on Sweden's doorstep. And that is pretty much what prompted Sweden to knock on NATO's door and say, hey, y'all, we would like to join the party. And then NATO pretended to, like, really seriously deliberate as to whether or not to admit them. And then, of course, they did, which there's really no reason for Sweden to not be admitted. But this just means, like, so just to be clear how NATO works is that there are member countries, and if one country that's a member of NATO is attacked, then all of the other countries, then it's like attacking all of them at once.
Yes.
And so, you know, it makes sense for Sweden and some of the other countries that Russia's right there, which is also why Ukraine has asked for, to be admitted as a member, which NATO has some pretty strict rules because of the conflict that's going on. That's the only reason that Ukraine has not been admitted, I think, largely. But also they have to meet a certain standard of defense, and there's a bunch of NATO rules. But this is, like, really good because it does help kind of reinforce the fact that NATO's, like, saying, uh-huh, keep it up, Putin. Just keep it up.
Yeah. So keep going. Yep. I mean, the unfortunate thing about that is, as long as Putin is still around, there will always be, in my opinion only, the potential for a third world war. Because I think, you know, over the years you hear all these different things, Putin is sick, or Putin is tired, or Putin is this, or Putin is that. And it always sets me on edge, and I'm sure because of the mainstream media, that's what it's supposed to do. Because as we discussed earlier, you know, the news is no longer about reporting. It's actually become more about money. But anyway, so, you know, there's got to come a point where Putin can be stopped. Now, obviously, for countries that are admitted into NATO, the stronger NATO becomes, yada, yada, yada. I don't know. I get concerned because when these folks get older and they have these certain visions of the world, I wonder if, again, we're going to have a situation where he'll burn it to the ground if he can be king of the ashes. I just don't know. And scares me.
And it should scare you. I want to be really clear. I mean, it should scare you. And the problem, okay, so when you have people like Putin and you have, you know, people like Trump, who's kind of like Putin's handmaiden, at this point, and the Viktor Orbans, and, there has definitely been a rise in authoritarianism and fascism around the globe. Okay, this is not me blowing smoke up your skirt. This is actual fact. There's been a decline in democracy and a rise in, you know, authoritarianism and fascism. And so every time one of those, authoritarians makes an advance, it encourages the rest of them. And so, you know, which is why, you know, aid to Ukraine is so important, because, you know, all of the NATO countries recognize that, you know, Putin cannot be allowed to take Ukraine, because if he takes Ukraine, he ain't stopping there. And they all know this. You know, but I don't think that a lot of Americans, they don't have a good, I think a lot of Americans do not have a good understanding of, you know, of world politics, or, you know, and especially not how these different economies and how, like, the EU or even how NATO works, because Trump, you know, says nutty stuff like, you know, well, we're going to make them pay their share. And it's like, okay, that's not how it works, you know. I mean, he doesn't even understand how tariffs work, which, to be fair, the average American probably doesn't either, because
American isn't president. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm willing to
well,
be right there.
The
president should know.
And don't let me forget, before we end this, we have to talk about the nutty lieutenant governor of North Carolina. That's how I'd like to end today. But
okay.
Yeah. but to get back to the, you know, as far as NATO and all of that, I mean, I think that what the Republicans have done by preventing aid going to Ukraine is criminal, because they're also I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous and it's criminal. And if Ukraine loses, it will be the fault of the Republicans, but they don't really care. Republicans don't care. You know, a couple million people die. It's no skin off of their nose, you know. They don't care. But then again, they don't care, you know. I mean, they don't want women to vote. They want women to have babies that they don't want to have. I'm going to go down the rabbit hole. I should shut up. But speaking of down the rabbit hole and crazy, so sad to say that here in North Carolina, which – Raina and I both live in North Carolina.
We've got
the worst lieutenant governor, who is also now the GOP nominee to be governor of the state. What was the guy's name that was governor before Cooper? He was a big, like, one of the big tobacco guys.
Oh,
what's his name?
Pat McCrory.
McCrory, yeah. Okay, so if you think McCrory was goofy, and he was a little goofy, but at least he had some idea of what he was doing. Mark Robinson, who is our lieutenant governor at the moment and is running for governor, this dude is a whack job, and not in a good, fun way. Since he's gotten the nominee for the GOP for the election of governor, video of him has surfaced where he is saying that women should not have the right to vote, that is something that in his opinion should be rolled back. They should have never allowed women to vote. He also has said that, you know, that Hitler had the right idea, but also that it's all fake, that there weren't millions of Jews murdered at the hands of Hitler's troops. What else? What else has he said? Because there's a bunch. Like, every time I see it, I see clips, I'm just like, yikes!
Well, you know, Yeah, you know, he really wants, I believe that part of his thought process goes back as far as unintegrating schools. He really steps on the pedal that leads us back into the 50s and 40s, and that's terrifying.
We should mention he's black. He's also black.
I know. I don't understand his position. I don't understand. I mean, obviously, he's a Trump supporter in the worst possible kind of way. I can't. I just can't. And I love my state. I you know, I'm not a native North Carolinian, but I love it here. I have a lot of wonderful friends. I live in a very, very liberal area in the state. I just can't bear it. You know, Roy Cooper, there is no such thing as a politician who doesn't have a serious issue or struggle. But this guy running, it's different. He's different. He's just different. I'm just saying. He's just different.
He's a whack job.
He's a whack
kind of guy. I mean, like he literally said, I want to go back to the America where women couldn't vote. Okay? So we're talking, in order for that to happen, we would have to go back to 1919. Okay? You know who else? You know what hadn't been passed yet? The fucking civil rights.
Yeah.
This is a black man who says, I want to go back to 1919. What the fuck is wrong with him? Like, in what world does he think that, how is, as you can see, I'm getting a little too excited here because I'm just like, I cannot wrap my brain around any person of color. Like, what does he think? They're going to make an exception for him? Like, what the hell? Explain it. Help me.
Yeah.
Help me. Help me understand, because I can't. I don't understand.
I wish I could understand, which is why my faith in the American public is where it is. I believe in the folks that want democracy to continue. I believe in the folks that want everyone to be able to live the life they choose. My concern is what the other side is willing to do to make sure that that doesn't happen, and what they could potentially get away with. So everybody, please, we just had our primary. If your state is due for a primary, please vote. Please, I'm begging you, vote. Please, 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 please. It's important that your voice will be heard. Just because we know who the nominees are, you can't sit it out. You just can't. We cannot sit out any election ever again for the rest of our lives. That's how important it is. Vote, to be an American, to hold up the American ideals of freedom and liberty and the right to choose your path in this world, the right to choose who you love, the right to have children or not have children, the right to marry, the right to do everything that we have taken apparently for granted for so long that we are losing pieces of it at a time, and we certainly will lose more if there is another Trump presidency. So I beg you to please, please do not sit out any possible election. Get to the polls. Make your voices heard on primary day. Certainly the general election. Any elections, dog catcher elections are important because this is how people get in. They start on the bottom floor where people are not paying attention. They rise in the ranks. Their names become known. And having a known name does not mean you're a good person. It merely means you're known. That's not good enough. That is not just because a name is familiar does not make it good enough to say that's who I'm voting for. So please do some research. Find out who's running. Find out their background. Find out what party they're with. Because I've seen a lot of Republicans sneak in under the wire, kind of not really announcing themselves as Republican, in these smaller local races. It's really important. You need to know who these folks are.
Sure.
You know. And on that note, we will see you next month. Say goodnight, Star.
Goodnight, Star.
All right, guys. Take care. Stay vigilant. We'll talk to you soon.